How are you doing today? We want to thank God for the rain. Everything looks so nice and green, and we want to really thank God that we were spared any really bad weather here in our place, but we want to pray for those who did experience that bad weather. I have a brother in Omaha, and he had that really big EF5 tornado went about a mile from his house, and so we're just praising God that there was no damage for him or any injuries or anything like that. But we're just thankful to the Lord for the rain that he's provided for us, and we just pray that he would continue to do so and pray for protection for everybody that's in the path of those storms. Well, if you've been here for the last few weeks, you know Corey's been talking about the gospel, and he talked about, first of all, Jesus our King, and secondly, Jesus our Defender. And last week he talked about an invitation to a relationship. But once we have that invitation to a relationship, what happens then? Well, today we're going to talk about life in the Spirit. What does it mean after we become a Christian to live the life that God wants us to live? So will you pray with me? Father, I thank you for this day that you've given us. I thank you, Lord, for the rain that you've sent our way, and I do pray for those who have been in the path of destruction and have suffered loss in many different ways. And we just pray now, Lord, that you would meet those needs and help restore that which was lost. Lord, I lift up the time that's before us. I pray, Lord, you'd help me to get out of your way and for you to work. I pray, Lord, that your word will go forth and not return void, but accomplish the purpose for which you have sent it. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I don't know about you, but when I look around and I see that the world is kind of a crazy place, isn't it? If you turn the news on, we took a little break and went up to Mahoney State Park up in Nebraska, met two of my brothers and my mom, and we spent a few days there, and I didn't have any news on. And actually, since that time, I really haven't listened to much of the news. But I know that if I turn the news on, it won't take me very long to find out that the world is really a crazy place. All kinds of stuff going on all over the world, things that you and I wouldn't have imagined in our lifetime would happen, are happening. And so we don't know what the future holds, but we do know who holds the future, don't we? God is in control, and he knows what's going on. Nothing surprises him, and God wins in the end. That's the good news of the gospel. But you know, one of the things that I've thought about from time to time, and Rick Warren raised this question as well, when I become a follower of Jesus, and my eternal destiny is secure, and like in Psalm 23 it says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, if all of that is true, why doesn't God just take me home to heaven? Why leave me down here on earth to deal with all of the struggles and difficulties that we face, that once we become a Christian, why doesn't God just take us to heaven? Well, because he has a job for us to do. He has a mission for us to fulfill. And that mission's found in Matthew 28, beginning in verse 19, where Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. So Jesus gives us the Great Commission. He gives us a mission to go and make disciples. And I always like to remind us that we don't set aside a time to make disciples. We don't say, well, from 10 to 12 on Tuesday morning or from 6:30 to 8:30 on Wednesday night, I'm going to go make disciples. What that go make disciples literally means is as you go, as you are living your life, as you are at the grocery store, as you are at work, as you are at school, as you are at church, there are opportunities for you and me to share the gospel and to touch people's lives, even here in church. And so as you go, think about it, wherever I am, I have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, and I have that mission to make disciples. But then Jesus says, baptize them and teach them. You know, when I first became a pastor and left the public sector and became a pastor some 20 years ago, or maybe more than that now, I can't remember, for 25 years ago, one of the things that we were really big on in the church is we would have people come to know Jesus, and then we'd make them go through weeks and weeks and weeks of study, and then we'd baptize them. And, you know, I never did really quite understand why that was the way it is, but that's the way it was. We were really big on these membership classes and then get baptized. Well, as I have looked at the New Testament and I've studied that, I see that in every instance in the Bible, when someone came to be a follower of Jesus, they were baptized almost immediately. As a matter of fact, in the Great Commission, it says, make disciples, baptize them, and teach them. And I came to the conclusion that Jesus was specific in that, because we come to Jesus once, and he is our Savior and Lord. We are baptized normally one time, but the teaching goes on for how long? It goes on for as long as we're alive, right? For as long as I'm alive, I am going to be a learner. As long as I'm alive and I have opportunity, I will be a teacher. All of us are teachers in our own way as we go through life. So, first of all, this morning, I want to remind us that Jesus promises us the Holy Spirit. Jesus promises us the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1, chapter 1, verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. So Jesus promises us the Holy Spirit. He promises us the power and the ability that you and I need to fulfill the mission that he's given us. He promises us power to boldly proclaim the gospel and demonstrate the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. How many of you can look back onto the day you came to know Jesus, and you remember how you felt that day, but you also know how your life was going? And now you fast forward to where you are now. Has Jesus made a difference? Has the power of the Holy Spirit made a difference in your life and in your walk? I know in my life it has. I wouldn't be up here in front of you today speaking if God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, hadn't literally turned my life upside down. I always tell people that when I was in high school and college, I avoided every public speaking class. I never did a public speaking class in high school or college because I was so deathly afraid of being in front of people. And yet God called us into ministry, and I said, God, I can't speak in public. How's this going to work? But the power of the Holy Spirit transforms our life. The power of the Holy Spirit transcends culture, transcends society, transcends geography. The Holy Spirit isn't bound to just this place right here this morning. The Holy Spirit is living and active around the world in the lives of every person who is seeking after him. So Jesus promises us that power, and that power results in a dynamic witness to what Jesus does for us. It's more than just verbally sharing the gospel. It is a lifestyle of faithfulness, a lifestyle of authenticity, a lifestyle of integrity. We show the world God's love, grace, and truth in our lives as we reflect his light in a dark and dying and struggling world. We are given a dynamic witness. I want to just encourage us this morning that as you go along in life and you have those opportunities, those little nudges of the Holy Spirit, don't discount them. And never think that anything that you do is too small. Nothing you do in the kingdom work is too small. God can work in nearly every situation that you and I come across. I remember a number of years ago now, and I can't remember exactly how many years ago it was, I was preaching out at Crosstails Trails Cowboy Church at north of Benton at the Prairie Rose, and I made a statement in that sermon. I said this: if you don't know where you're going, it's not safe to die. And, you know, for me, I don't know, it was just a statement and it made sense to me. But there was a man in the congregation that evening. His name is T.A. I don't know what T.A. stands for. That's what we call him, T.A. But every time I see T.A., every time I've seen him since that time, he points his finger at me and he says, if you don't know where you're going, it's not safe to die. And that one sentence impacted his life all these years later, and he still reminds me of that every time I see him. And so we are called to rely on the Holy Spirit's guidance and power to fulfill Jesus' command to go and make disciples. Secondly, and this is what I really like, God gives us the Spirit-filled family of God. God gives us the Spirit-filled family of God. That's you and me as we meet here in this place this morning. And I want to read out of Acts chapter 2. I always tell people when I read this passage of Scripture, this is the church I want to belong to. This is the family of God that I want to be a part of. It says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing with them with all, as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. That is the Spirit-filled family of God. And God promises us a Spirit-filled family of God. And that's what we are here this morning. And every family of God is unique. Every family of God has its unique strengths and gifts and abilities. And God has called real life to minister to people in a different way than any other church in this area or anywhere else in the world, for that matter. You have a specific calling. You are a Spirit-filled family of God with a calling to share the good news of the gospel. So the Spirit-filled family of God is what? Devoted to the teaching, the breaking of bread, and prayer, due to our recognition of the importance of spiritual nourishment. That's why we come together here on Sunday mornings. We know that we need to come together and be nourished spiritually. But we also know that we need to spend time individually, one-on-one with God. We call it a quiet time, but it doesn't have to be quiet. You can sing, you can talk out loud, you can do whatever in your quiet time with the Lord. But that spiritual nourishment is so necessary. The Spirit-filled family of God is marked by unity. The Spirit-filled family of God is marked by mutual support and generosity because of our shared identity as followers of Jesus and the commitment to meet one another's needs. As Tristan was sharing this morning about supporting a little child, you know, that is so important. One little child across the world having their needs met because someone in the United States feels called to meet that need. That's the Spirit-filled family of God. When we see a need, we meet it. You know, oftentimes in the family of God, when a family has a tragedy, we all do what? We rally around, don't we? We come together. We say, what can we do for you? How can we help you? What do you need? So the Spirit-filled family of God is so important. And I encourage you, if you don't have a church home, this would be a great place to get connected. This is a Spirit-filled family of God that wants to share the good news of Jesus and help those who are in need. The Spirit-filled family of God is full of worship and joy, recognizing God's goodness and faithfulness. And our worship here is great. The gals who lead us in singing are wonderful. And so this is a Spirit-filled family of God that is full of worship and joy. When you come in the doors on Sunday morning, someone greets you, don't they? And they have a smile. And they're genuinely glad to see you. It's not put on. It's genuine because it's Spirit-filled. And a Spirit-filled family of God results in impact and growth. The Scripture says God added to their number daily those who are being saved. A Spirit-filled family of God results in impact and growth. And real life has had that growth. And real life impacts people. And I want to encourage us to keep on keeping on. Even when things are difficult and we're in the midst of a struggle, we need to keep on keeping on, because God is faithful and He will see us through. Another thing about the Spirit-filled family of God, it was irresistible to those around them. It was irresistible, leading not just to numerical growth, but spiritual transformation. As I read that passage, and it says they were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved, it is as if that family of God was irresistible. People couldn't help but be caught up in the enthusiasm and the joy that was being shared there. You know, and one thing that is often overlooked, we talk a lot about the gifts of the Spirit, and it's very important because every one of us in this room has at least one gift of the Holy Spirit. But there's another aspect of life in the Holy Spirit that we tend to sometimes overlook. We tend to overlook one of the transforming powers of the Holy Spirit, and that is found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. It says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." I think the fruit of the Holy Spirit also contributes to us being irresistible. We can't manufacture the fruit of the Spirit on our own. I know I sure can't. But the fruit of the Spirit flows from a life surrendered to God through the power of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, I believe, is part of what made that church family in Acts 2 irresistible. Because they had love, and they had joy, they had peace, they had patience, they had kindness, they had self-control. They impacted the world around them. It's part of what will make the family of God irresistible today. So you and I would just encourage us not only to focus in on the gifts of the Spirit, but to remember the fruit of the Spirit and to cultivate that in our life. How do I cultivate the fruit of the Spirit in my life? Well, the same ways I cultivate the gifts that the Spirit has given me is by being a part of a family, exercising what God has given me, being in His Word, relating to one another. It's all part of that teaching that we need to do for one another. The world is a crazy place. It really is. And people are looking for something solid to anchor their life. People really are looking for something solid to anchor their life. I would say the Spirit-filled family of God is that anchor. Let's be that anchor in the lost and dying world. Now, for you and me living in the world, in the power of the Holy Spirit means being light in the darkness. Our words and our actions can bring hope and healing to those who are lost and dying. But living in the world, in the power of the Holy Spirit, making a difference in the world, will not always be easy. We will face opposition. And I just want to encourage you this morning, don't be surprised when opposition comes, because it will. You know, oftentimes I find when I talk with people, I can talk generically about God and about faith and about spiritual things. But if I mention Jesus, things get a little bit tense and awkward. And so we are going to face opposition when we share the gospel, because we can't share the gospel without talking about Jesus. And as we begin to talk about Jesus, things might get a little tense. But take heart. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells within us. The Holy Spirit, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells within us. And with the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, we can and will overcome those obstacles. We can and will overcome those obstacles. Jesus said in John chapter 16, "In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world," right? And so he is, as the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, will help us as we face that opposition to overcome the opposition and to be able to share the good news of the gospel. Thirdly, I want to remind us, it's important to remember, my relationship with the Holy Spirit is first and foremost a relationship with a person. Sometimes we get caught up in thinking all these theological thoughts and ideas about the Holy Spirit and talking about the Holy Spirit, but first and foremost, my relationship with the Holy Spirit is a relationship with a person. I asked my wife this morning in the car on the way over here, I said, how many years ago did we start dating? I had an idea. I mean, I had a good idea how many years it was. So it was 49 or 50, depends on what you count. I hate to say, and I was thinking, as I was thinking about how long my wife and I have been dating, I think, how is that even possible? I can't imagine myself being 50, let alone having began dating my wife 50 years ago. Sounds crazy. But we did. We started dating about 50 years ago. We thought we were in love with each other, and we were. We were in love with each other. But after 47 years of marriage, we realized that when we first started dating, that was just the very beginning of a relationship. We barely knew each other, but we were attracted to each other for all kinds of reasons. And we eventually got married, and 47 years later, here we are. But one of the things about that is we had to have a commitment to that relationship. We had to be all in. We had to be sold out. We had to give of our time and our energy, and we had to listen, and we had to talk, and we had to communicate. We had to get to know one another. And we had to get to know one another's families. And so growing together and serving each other became a lifelong journey, fraught with pitfalls and difficulties and struggles, but also filled with joys and wonderful things. And so I have a relationship with my wife that has grown over the years and has changed over the years. It's the relationship with the Holy Spirit and the family of God is much the same. It is very much the same. When we believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confessed with our mouth Jesus is Lord, we are saved, the Bible says. And that is just the beginning of a relationship with God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's just the beginning of a relationship. And so we have to be willing to invest the time and the energy and listen and communicate and be committed to that relationship no matter what happens. We have to be all in and sold out. And that we also have to get to know the family, don't we? I mean, once I become a Christian, a follower of Jesus, I become a part of a family. And you really should be a part of a family. And that being a part of that family is a lifelong journey, fraught with difficulties and struggles and all kinds of stuff, but also filled with wonderful joys and great experiences, and most importantly, the support that we need when times are tough. That's what I get from my wife and from my kids, and what I give to my wife and my kids is that support when things get tough. The family of God is much the same. We give support and love and concern to one another when times get tough. And so I'm thankful to God for the Spirit-filled family of God and the relationship that I have with the Holy Spirit and with you who meet here and gather in this place on Sunday mornings. I know some of your struggles, and I know struggles of other people outside of this family, and I'm so thankful that God helps meet those needs through the people of God. So, and fourthly, the last point I want to make this morning is this. Invite the Holy Spirit to work in your life. Invite Him to work in your life. The Holy Spirit, as I said earlier, is not just another theological concept or idea. The Holy Spirit is the very presence of God within us. The very presence of God within us, enabling us to walk in step with God when we invite Him into our lives. In John 14, Jesus said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you." So the Holy Spirit, as we invite the Holy Spirit into our lives and invite the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, he does several things. He is a comfort to us. Jesus said, "I'm going to send you the Comforter." He calls him the Comforter. He gives us reassurance in times of trouble and difficulty and doubt and loss. You know, right now as we gather here this morning, one of my best friends is in the midst of dying. He's in his final days or so. And I am so comforted by the knowledge that he is in Jesus' care, that Jesus loves him and is watching over him, and his family is comforted by the Holy Spirit as they watch him walk through these last days and hours of his life. So the Holy Spirit brings comfort to us when we have struggles and difficulties and loss. The Holy Spirit gives us guidance. Bible says leads us into truth and convicts us of our sin. When I sit down to read the word, sometimes I'll just pray, "God, help me to understand what I'm reading today. Help me to know and to get from what I'm reading today what you want me to get." And I allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide me in those difficult times. The Holy Spirit gives us power. We just read, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses." We receive power to do what God calls us to do. You know, God, I've often said to people, God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. He gives us the power and the ability to do what he calls us to do. He will never call us to do something that he doesn't give us the ability to do. We're not out there on our own. The Holy Spirit gives us character. Honesty, integrity, authenticity, and even the fruit of the Spirit, that love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness. It's the Holy Spirit that gives that to us in our lives. The Holy Spirit gives us, as I said before, spiritual gifts. And those are very important for the family of God. God has equipped real life with everything it needs to accomplish the mission that God has for this church. And what God has, the way God provides that is through you. Each and every one of you has your own unique gifts and abilities, and God calls you to be a part of the body, to fulfill what he's called you to do. The scripture says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. In other words, each and every one of us is given a gift. And when you and I don't fulfill our part in the kingdom, the whole kingdom suffers. The family suffers. I remember when our oldest son, Ben, was playing basketball for Sumner Academy in Kansas City when we lived in Kansas City. And the game was going on hot and heavy, and all of a sudden we looked over and Ben was just laying out flat on the floor. And we didn't know what had happened, but he wasn't moving. And the coaches went over and saw to him, and they eventually helped him get off of the court and off to the sideline. And lo and behold, we found out that he had strained his ACL, I believe it was. And it just reminded me that there was one little bitty piece of Ben's body that got messed up, and it took him out of the game. It messed up the whole body. His whole body, because of that one little tendon, was taken out of the game. So the same thing can happen to the church. If you, as a part of the body of Christ, are taken out of the game, it can mess up the whole body, because we rely on one another. So I just encourage you, find those gifts that God has given you, and then use them. Don't be afraid to use them. God wants you to use them. The family needs you to use them. And so I just encourage you, you are a part of the mission that God has given to real life. And I say sometimes the people who make the coffee are the most important people in the building. Because a lot of times when I walk into the church, I say, okay, where's the coffee pot, you know? And so people, you know, you may not be able to get up here on Sunday morning and preach a message, but you have a gift. And if you exercise your gift, it's just as important as the gift of standing up here and preaching the gospel. Because it makes a difference in the family. And that difference may be just what's needed to push the family over the edge and into a whole new period and experience of growth. So I just encourage you to invite the Holy Spirit into your life. In John 16, he goes on to say, "It is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the Advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin, of God's righteousness, and of the coming judgment." You know, the Holy Spirit also convicts us of our sin. The Holy Spirit convinces us of our need of a Savior. And the Holy Spirit converts us when we come to that point of surrender to Jesus, and then leads us throughout our Christian life. I just think back oftentimes to T.A. If you don't know where you're going, it's not safe to die. And to realize that the Holy Spirit impressed that on me, I shared it with a group of people, and it's impacted him for years. Never underestimate what you do. The smallest thing can have a biggest impact. And another thing I want to remind us is, as followers of Jesus, the Holy Spirit indwells you and me with his power and his leading and his guidance. The Holy Spirit insulates us from the world by convicting us of sin, by tapping us on the shoulder and maybe saying, don't get involved there. Don't mess with that. That's not where I want you. So the Holy Spirit insulates us from the world, but does not isolate us from the world. If we're isolated from the world, how are we going to go and make disciples and baptize them and teach them? So I just want to remind you that the Holy Spirit's going to give you nudges. The Holy Spirit's going to convict you of areas of sin in your life. And he's convicting you of those areas of sin to insulate you from the world, but not isolate. We can't be isolated. We have to be a part of the world, and we have to be involved in people's lives. And yes, it gets messy, but that's what God calls us to do. I want to close by just reading this, because I wanted to word it in a particular way. We have the promise of power and the mandate to be witnesses. We are ambassadors for Jesus in a broken and hurting world. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit to boldly proclaim the gospel, to demonstrate God's love through our actions, and to faithfully fulfill the mission entrusted to us until the ends of the earth are reached and every knee bows in worship of Jesus. Let's pray. God, I just come before you this morning. I thank you for real life. I thank you for this family, this Spirit-filled family that meets in this place, and the ministry that takes place through the individual members of this family and the church as a whole. We thank you, Lord, for the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord, you'd help us to not think too lightly of what you've called us to do, to not think too lightly of what may seem to be a very simple thing to us, but can have a tremendous eternal impact in the life of another person. We thank you, Lord, for loving us and caring for us enough to send Jesus into the world to die for our sins and to send us the Holy Spirit to comfort and lead and guide and embolden us to be your witnesses. I just ask your blessing upon us now as we leave this place this morning. Pray for Corey and Andrea as they travel home, for safety for them. And Lord, we just look forward to what you are going to do in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen.